Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 79 of the Crick Picks podcast. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. To my right is Varun Alvaconda, who even if you try, you can't find him anywhere on social media. And to my left is Jared Kimber, who you can find literally everywhere. And before we get into the show, just a quick briefing for everyone who's new to Crick Picks. What we do on this show is that we take any generic cricket category and then we draft our top five each for that cricket category in a snake-style draft competition. So the pick order goes 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1. And our topic for today, or the category for today is the best all-time test batters to have averaged under 40 with the bat. And Jared has first pick, which is very, very redundant, I feel. We've kind of screwed up over here.
Do I want to go rogue? I won't go rogue. I'll just go WG Grace. He's very good at cricket. Yeah.
Of course.
I wonder who's gone number one more, WG Grace or Bumrah.
True. Someone needs to do a deep dive. We're 79 episodes in, and both of these guys have been number one pick very frequently. So if someone wants to do the work for us, Jessica, perhaps you could be that person, right? tell us who's been number one first. But yeah, I hate it that you are the one who always gets the WG Grace pick also. Have you noticed that?
You're all available to pick him. It's just I can't help myself. If he's there, he comes off the board.
All right. He's averaging, what, 32? So I don't think we're going to pick anyone else who'll average less than him. But then again, as Jared has mentioned in his book and plenty of times on the podcast, look at how well he fared compared to the other batters in his era. So there's that. Okay. Second pick is very tricky for me. I don't even know where to go with this one. I think I'm going to go for vibes, guys, because I don't think there's an obvious answer. There are two names, but I think I know where I'm going. So my first pick is going to be Brendan McCullum. He was a wicketkeeper batter, but he didn't keep in all of his test matches or all the test matches that he played. And Baz is averaging 38.64 in 101 test matches. He has a strike rate of 64.6, so he was someone who was a disruptor and he'd play his own way. And he's got a test triple hundred. So out of his 12 hundreds, one is a triple, which came versus India. I'm just really keen to look at what his numbers look like with the bat when he's not keeping, because I feel like that could be a really good indicator of how good a bat he was, right?
They're above 40, so if that's the case, then he no longer qualifies for your list.
No, but he should qualify for my list, right? So if, when he's not a keeper, he's averaging
43, but
nearly 43. And as a keeper, he's averaging around 34. Overall average is under 40, so he qualifies, Jared.
Yeah, weirdly enough, identical medians.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
As a keeper and not as a keeper. Mm. Must be a higher ceiling when he's not keeping. Yeah.
Of course. That's when he scores his triple as well versus India.
Again, weirdly, yeah, nearly identical 50s as well. He's just got two more hundreds. Mm. It's interesting.
Anyway, so we've got WG Grace and Baz McCullum. And now we're on to Varun for two back-to-back picks.
I don't even know if this, let me actually make sure he does average under 40.
Let me make sure this guy played cricket. That's what I'm hearing here.
Fuck, he does not average under 40.
Who are we going to say?
I'm going Victor Trumper first. I'm going Victor Trumper first.
See, very good pick, obviously. We'll talk about Victor Trumper in a moment. But who are you going to pick?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who didn't?
For some reason, I thought Ranji was averaging less than 40.
Like 46 or something, isn't he?
48, I think.
Yeah. That's what I was like. Yeah. I'm just glad I checked it.
So it's interesting how I was actually confused between Trumper and McCullum, because they were both those same kind of players, right? And I was like, where do I go? Do I go for a golden oldie or do I just talk about Baz? But I went with Baz.
They're not the same kind of players.
I mean, in a way, because they are aggressive players, right?
Yeah, I mean, Trump is a lot better than McCullum.
You could... yes.
True.
McCullum's interesting because he is important to cricket, but he's not Victor Trumper, right? Victor Trumper is a really, really important person in cricket. And Victor Trumper was thought to be, at times, the best batter in the world. No one ever thought that about McCullum. So I think probably you would go Trumper over McCullum 20 times out of 8.
Yeah. Okay, well,
that's true.
The 21st time out of 8, I picked the wrong guy then. Okay, so your first pick is Trumper. You have another one to go. I just like to add one thing over here, which I learned from Jared's book, is that cross-batted shots are something that Victor Trumper made repeatable on the leg side, and he would whack them, you know, outside or balls pitched out outside off would be whacked to the leg side. Hello? And no one ever did that before him, so he is a very, very important player in the history of our sport.
Agreed.
Yep. Okay. Great. Okay. Go for your next pick.
Similar lines, Clem Hill.
Now we're talking.
Damn.
I like Abhishek how he says
Abhishek Mukherjee will be happy with Varun. He already likes him.
He will. Someone emailed me complaining about Clem Hill, and I said, have you read the book? And they said no. And I said, there's enough Clem Hill in the book to make you happy. But yeah, pioneering left-hander. Scores almost as quick as Trumper, right, Varun? I mean, it's ridiculous. He doesn't get remembered.
Yeah, so from the ball darts that we have, he has a strike rate of 75. Trumper is 70-ish.
79 or something.
Trumper was probably quicker.
Yeah.
No, I think it's 70. I think it says an opener, it's like 77 for Trumper.
Yeah, no, but Trumper...
Really, he's quite... Yeah.
Yeah, but a ridiculously good player. I just think because he was probably... My guess is he was probably a little bit ugly and quite busy at the crease, and Trumper was a lot prettier and a little bit more extravagant would be my guess.
Yeah, both the match factors are quite similar for both of them, around 1.24 as well. So, yeah.
All right.
Very
then.
Similar in many ways.
You've gone for two golden oldies then. You've pulled off a Jared over here. And out of the four picks that we have, everyone that's watching this show probably only knows two names. Worth mentioning that as well. Anyway, it's back to me. And again, I am confused, but I think I'm going to continue with the same sort of theme that I went with Baz. So my next pick will be Alex Stewart, another guy who did keep wicket and also played as a specialist bat. He is someone who's played a lot, 133 test matches. He has nearly 8,500 runs and he's averaging 39.54. So he just makes the cut. And again, this is someone who England started keeping wicket with and his record kind of diminishes thereon. So when he is the keeper for England, he's averaging a smidgen under 35 with the bat. And when he's not keeper, he's averaging 46.7 with the bat. So clearly he was a really, really, you know, talented and well-rounded batter. So yeah, I'm fine with this pick.
Also, doesn't he have the most runs for someone who averages under 40? Right?
Oh, does he?
If I'm remembering.
Well, that's a great stat. Yeah. That makes it even more. Maybe I should have taken him.
I don't know if that's a good or bad. It's a bit. Yeah, it's a bit like how Lyon has the most runs without a 50. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Right?
I wonder how many times in his career he was averaging over 40, and when did it really slip? Like, that's also something worth looking into.
I can check that.
Oh, you can?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see it then.
I was just looking this up because I was looking up another player who I didn't think was going to make the list. But if we did the best batters who average under 30 in Test cricket, Ken Rutherford played 56 Test matches for New Zealand over 10 years and averaged 27.
Wow.
So, Behram, he was averaging over 40 just 5 tests before his retirement.
Oh!
He just drops a bit.
That's brilliant.
So 24 July 2003, it was 40.18 and he finishes 39.54.
Perfect.
Like 5 tests later.
Maybe I should have taken
just makes
him,
it.
Maybe I should have taken him ahead of McCallum.
Probably.
Anyway, we're back to Jared then. But before that, let us take a short break. You guys are watching Crick Picks with Jared, Behram and Varun and we'll be back in like half a minute. So go nowhere.
I have travelled the cricketing world, and so I've collected two things. The phone numbers of random taxi drivers and overseas SIM cards. Rideshare apps have fixed the first part, and Sally is doing the second. Now, all you need is their eSIM on whatever plan works for you. You activate it, and you can use it anywhere in the cricketing world. It helps you save money. It is a global solution to a global problem. Stop fiddling with tiny sims and get the one that does it all. Go to Sally.com Good Areas and use the code Good Areas to get an exclusive 15% off your first purchase. Fly free with Sally.
Welcome back to Crick Picks. You guys are with Jared, Behram and Varun, and we are currently drafting the best test batters ever to have averaged under 40 with the bat. And Jared Kimber has back-to-back picks.
Yes. I am going to go. Let's go with someone modern. I'm going to go with Johnny Bairstow.
Oh,
Yorkshire's Johnny Bairstow makes it to the list. He wasn't in my long list.
YJB.
Because
I like this.
I think if you have someone who averages under 40, and you can look up his keeping versus non-keeping as well. But if you have someone who averages under 40, what you really want is the innings that change everything, right? Like, and it's either Bairstow or Stokes, and you might be able to pick both of them as well. But Bairstow has played some of the best innings I've ever seen and also has been at the forefront of the baseball revolution, probably more so than Stokes. Stokes was the one who told him to do it. Bairstow was the one who did it, right? And so I just think that There are technical reasons why he averages less than 40, and also the wobble ball came about. He's probably, if you look at it for era, he'd probably be about what 6 to 7% better than a normal player in his era, which is usually someone who probably averages just over 40, not just under 40.
Hmm. And he's averaging 36.39 overall, but I'm curious to see what he averaged as keeper and when he averaged or what he averaged with
as a 38 as a keeper, 35 as a batsman.
I thought so. You know why? Because when he was keeping, he was scoring a lot of runs, and then they took the gloves away from him and gave them to Joss Butler, and Bairstow started to fail with the bat. That's my memory of the entire episode.
I actually think he's probably one of the most mismanaged cricketers in the history of all time, and that includes the fact that he played with Moeen Ali.
The only thing I'd probably you could argue is against Bairstow is he looks like a bit of a draw merchant.
Draw merchant, did you say?
What is that?
His match factor is 0.97. Okay. His match factor is 0.97 in result games and 1.6 in draws. So it does seem like he benefits a bit from it, I'd say.
Oh, that's fair enough.
Hmm. Okay.
And then next to him, I'm going to have a Nottingham legend, George Gunn of Gunn and Moore. He's actually the son of the guy who started Gunn and Moore, if I'm correct. But he averages, is it exactly 40 or is it 39.9? What's his app?
No, it's 40, Jared. You can't.
You tell me. I can't have him?
Yeah. Nope.
No, it's...
It has to be below
40. It's under 40. Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
Fuck's sake.
The last average that qualifies is 39.999.
Wait, can we just do... Can you do a statistical analysis to see if it isn't 39.99 and they've just put the wrong number up on Crick Info for me, please, while we go through this? Okay.
I can try to do
that. That is annoying.
George Gunn. Let's see.
Such a good player, George Gunn.
No, it's exactly 40, Jared, unfortunately for you.
Fucking hell.
He has one out, which makes him, which increases to 40.
Well, now we're not getting sponsored by Gunn and Moore, guys. I hope you're all happy.
How tragic.
I just like to say what a big fan I am of Gunn and Moore if they want to send me any free kit. I've made 100 with a Gunn and Moore bat. I think George Gunn was really good. Okay, that.
Aidan Markram. Aidan Markram made 100 in the World Test Championship final with a Gunn and Moore bat. There.
They're beautiful bats. They really are. I mean, I'm not trying to suck up to them at this point. But, okay, God. All right. That means that I've got to change my tack here a little bit, I suppose. Oh, let's have some fun with it. I'll go with Dennis Lindsay.
Okay.
And the crowd goes wild for Dennis Lindsay there. Not a lot of noise.
I have no idea who that is.
Does anyone know who Dennis Lindsay is on this chat?
Nope.
Okay, cool. I actually remember when Tim Wigmore was writing his book. That was one of the plays that even he contacted me about to be like, can you tell me more about Dennis Lindsay? So Dennis Lindsay is probably one of the first great attacking, great attacking wicket-keeping batters. And he doesn't play that much because he's playing in the late 60s for South Africa. And obviously they stopped playing not long after that. But if you look at some of the things that he did in that brief career, it is absolutely remarkable. And he specifically hammered Australia. So we don't know how good he was because he only played 9 tests against England and New Zealand. And he made no runs against those teams, right? In 10 tests against Australia, he averaged 60 with 300s and 450s. And did it by basically just
From
hooking
the
every ball
data we have, it's 64-ish, Jared, by the way, the strike rate.
They think it was 64. Is that right?
Okay.
Yeah, from the ball data we have,
he's probably not one of the best, but he's certainly one of the most fun, and I had him on my list, and it's better than picking some boring modern guy who's not very good again. So I'm going to go Dennis Lindsay. There you go. The happy hooker from South Africa.
Wow, this podcast has really taken a turn. You know, a few days ago, Jared mentioned to Byron and myself that we probably should ease up on the prehistoric picks because no one will know them anyway.
Should it be one prehistoric per person or something?
Yeah. And now we've doubled down on prehistoric picks to the point where I feel like there's only like 2 modern guys in there.
Not only that, also George Gunn has been removed and Ranji's been removed. We've literally got 2 other prehistoric picks that could have been in it.
All right. So I feel like I will also go for an old pick. I suppose it's not quite prehistoric, but it is further back than, let's say, Alex Stewart, I suppose. Or yeah, he definitely would have started his career before Alex Stewart. Or maybe not. We'll find out. Jared would know. So third pick for me is Majid Khan from Pakistan. And he is a streets that, you know, or the streets will never forget sort of cricketer. Everyone in my family who's been a cricket nerd always raves about Majid Khan and how he was such a stylish opening bat back in the day. He's also Imran Khan's cousin, by the way, and Bazid Khan's dad. And Imran quite famously chucked him out of the team when he became captain. That's a story in Pakistan cricket folklore. Majid Khan's record does stand out. 63 test matches, he scored nearly 4,000 runs, and he averages just under 39. And I want to break it down a bit, because I went into the depths of this. He doesn't do all too well away from home, other than the West Indies. And he plays, you know, a pretty damn good West Indian team.
What year?
It's just that one, 1977. So they would have been good by then, no?
Yeah, yeah, they should have had a good
I'm not
team.
Sure. Yeah. Well, in 1977, he scores 530 runs in that five test match series at an average of 53. So, yeah, I mean, he comes from a long lineage of cricketers. I think Jahangir Khan is his father, the guy who killed the bird, and that bird is now in the Lord's Museum. Yep. So I just thought that he's a fun cricketer to pick over here.
I can't possibly be right. Oh my God, that's insane.
Yeah, yeah. When you go to Lord's, you can see that bird.
So the 100 he has in West Indies has, I think, three bowlers averaging below 25.
Yes, there you go. So it does kind of check out. And then he also has that very famous test match in England, I believe, where he scores twin hundreds, I want to say. Oh, no, it's not England. Well, he does have some sort of record like that. I can't remember it. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
He's definitely a very good player. There's no doubt about that. He was on my list as well.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're back to Varun for back-to-back picks.
Oof. Okay, I'm going to go... Oh, sorry, do I go rogue this early? That's what I'm thinking.
I think you should go rogue this early. Also, it's not even early anymore. You know, like...
So I think I had two pretty short picks. I'm going to go peak recency bias.
Okay.
Like very, very recent recency bias. I'm going Aidan Markram.
Wow!
I have a reason for this. Okay? Damn. I have a very good reason for this. No batter in the history of Test cricket has played as many result games as Markram has.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
And the one draw he played was the rain-affected West Indies game last year, which was 100% a result pitch as well.
Mm.
So there's other batters on this list we've mentioned who average less than him in result games. So even in this subcategory, there's something like he has an advantage in. That's my reasoning for picking
it
him.
Also, I love how we've gotten to the subcategories.
There is also an element of like he should just average over 40. Like, I can't think of too many players throughout the history of the game that are as talented as him who have been as disappointing as him. Like, and who've stuck around. Do you know what I mean? Like, we've had other players who maybe just failed and then disappeared. He hasn't disappeared. He's just kept getting picked because their batting has been so crap, right? But we all know he should be better than he is.
Yes. Yep. There's another player, by the way, who could get picked on the same rationale. Maybe Varun has extreme recency bias and he goes for that guy next.
I don't know. I'm going for a West Indies batter next. Ooh, I'm going Larry Gomes.
Larry Gomes. I was thinking about Larry Gomes.
Nice one.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So, like, again, I like him because he's got a better away record.
Okay.
Which is quite interesting. So lovely he averages 70 in Australia.
Yeah. Love 51 that guy's
in
afro.
England. Yeah. But only averaged 34.62 in West Indies, which is a very interesting record, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, he was a player who was rated very highly in his era, but just never quite managed to make the runs. There weren't, I wonder how many, you know, he was quite a stylish player and everything. He played for a long time, but just never quite made it work, I suppose is the best way of putting it. But certainly a great player.
Yeah. Oh, so he is a result merchant.
Is he?
Yeah. His match factor is 1.4 in result games and 0.9 in draws. And he averages more in result games as well. So, I love it.
Okay. So, you've gone Markram and Larry Gomes. I think those are interesting picks. Because
can I just say,
you've gone for like...
If we just put this list up and not told anyone what it was, I wonder how many cricket fans would be able to tell you what the category was for this.
True. That is actually very true. Also, if you notice Varun's picks in this round, he's gone for guys who can turn a game, right? Like when they perform, they can win you a test match, but they will fail quite frequently as well.
Mm.
That's basically what he's gone for.
Stop.
Okay.
Stop patting this out because you don't know who your choice is.
Yeah, I don't know who my choice is. I think I'll just go for the obvious one that Jared kind of name dropped earlier. I'll go for Ben Stokes as my next pick. Look, he's averaging 35 in Test cricket or somewhere around that mark, but it doesn't matter. Anyone who's seen or watched Ben Stokes bat in Test cricket, they know that he's a moments cricketer. He's a player of great innings. He's a clutch player, right? He turns up when the chips are down. I think we once did a footmarks on Stokes, and he actually does way better in crisis situations as opposed to when there are comfortable situations when he comes out to bat, right? We all can recount the Headingley knock versus Australia. He's done it in other formats as well. ODI World Cup final, T20 World Cup final, right? Both of those England won. But in Test cricket, not only is he this clutch batter who can come out and whack you left, right and center. I think Ben Stokes has the fastest double 100 in Test history, by the way. He broke Nathan Astle's record in South Africa from what my...
Was it double 100 or 250, which he has?
One of those he does have. But he went absolutely berserk. Yeah, I think it was Joburg or Cape Town. I can't quite remember. But that was one hell of an innings, and I watched it live. Yeah, might have been Newlands, yes. And I mean, look, he is also someone who... You know, I don't think you should ever judge Ben Stokes by his numbers. And on top of being that clutch batter, he is an absolute partnership breaker with the ball. Even despite being injured so much, he's still bowling like 7-8 over spells. And he's still cranking it up to 140, 140 plus.
That has nothing to do with this list. Why are you...
I was just about to say it.
I know. He's also just had a hair transplant. Nothing to do with why he's on this list. Let's keep it straight here.
Fantastic hair transplant, by the way.
Yeah, that is a fantastic hair transplant. I
think it might
lefty.
Be the best hair transplant in cricket.
As everyone knows, I am a left-handed batter merchant. So
I am.
I'm happy.
Might
with
be
this.
Unpopular, but I think he deserves to average 35.
Really?
He's got so many flaws
because of his spin game.
I think it's
ridiculous.
His spin game.
Yeah, I think I don't think there is any.
Like, he averages like 28
it's not
in Australia.
Like other bats, as I was thinking. Yeah.
Like, yeah. I was going through it. So someone sent me an email the other day going, really like the book, you know, enjoying it. I don't understand why Ben Stokes is not in the top 50. And I was like, so I looked at his record. I just take this guy back all this information, go, what am I missing here? Like, okay, like by that, if you're just saying he's played some of the best innings of all time, okay, well, Hanif Muhammad and VVS Laxman have to be in ahead of him anyway, like on that list, right? Yeah. You know, no one's saying that Pereira should be in my list, are they?
True.
Again, we all love his best knocks, but he just isn't consistent,
Yeah.
Cricket consistent, that is, yeah.
Honestly, the players that we're left with, I would rather take Stokes ahead of those guys. That's where we're at.
That's because you don't know anything about Marvin Adepatu.
I do know a lot about Marvin Adepatu, but I was confused with him. Doesn't he score like 18 ducks when he starts his test career?
He has the best start. How much do you know about him, Varun?
Not a lot. I just know I came across the name.
Would you like me to read out his? would you like me to read out his run tally after his first three tests?
Have I lost?
He has one run after three tests.
Oh yeah, one run.
Jesus. He scored one run in his first three tests. But it gets better because it's not as if he suddenly springs into action. So after 12 tests, he's averaging 21, right? And if you go, okay. I think I've done this math on him before, but if you just start his career after like 15 tests or 14 tests or something, it's somewhere around there. I think he makes 100 against Zimbabwe. Then he makes some runs against South Africa and a few other teams, I think, as well. And he gets on a bit of a roll after that point. But if you start his career then, he's like, he averages like 43 or 44. And we're like, oh, what a good player. Like, he played for, you know, Sri Lanka forever. But instead, it is the shittest start. And Ken Rutherford, who I mentioned before, is also another guy who just started really, really poorly. And so he comes from nowhere. So after 9 test matches, I'm going to allow you two to guess what his high score was in test cricket.
Okay, so he scores one run in his first three. He has to have a good score by now. 110.
Okay, so we've got 21 and 110. Varun, 29 was his top score.
Oh,
at that point.
Damn.
Like, who? What sort of...
I knew it had to be something absurd when he asked
What sort of a test batter has a 17-year career, right? And after 9 test matches has not scored a 30? Like, literally after 8 test matches, he's not yet averaging 10? Like, it's that stark that we're talking about. Right. It is one of the more... And then you have a look. He plays his last test in 2007. It's a bit of a comeback, so he really finished his career around 2005. But he plays his last test, so he has a 17-year career, and I just think if you watched him play, there's no way you would have thought he ended up with a test average below 40. There's a couple of those Sri Lankan players who I think conditions of their wickets, they were still, you know, learning about professionalism. But Gurusinghe is another one from that era where you're just like, how did these guys not average 40? And it was a tough bowling era and they weren't used to traveling. And I understand all those things. But Marvin Attapattu in test cricket, when he got it going, wasn't that much worse than, say, Gary Kirsten. Like, I honestly believe that.
Yeah, I just realized he plays his first three tests in 4 years, by the way.
He gets dropped and then comes back and fails again. And then gets dropped and comes back and fails again. It's fucking spectacular. It is the best shit record that you will ever see of any player ever. And, you know, you go all the way through his career. He ends up, I know some of this is in Zimbabwe, but in Africa, he ends up averaging 50. Against West Indies, who plays when they're good and when they're not good, he averages 45. In Asia, where you would expect Marvin Attapattu to be really good, he averages 35. And he averages 40 and 50 in England and Australia and New Zealand. Like, his record makes no sense at all. Basically, he has two issues with his record. He can't make any runs at the start of his career, right? And then he never makes any runs in Sri Lanka.
Yeah. So how much does he end up with? 39 point something?
It's close, isn't it? He's not far off 40. He is, 39, almost exactly.
39.02.
Yeah, so...
So, Jared, if you remember his first eight tests, it's 42.9.
That's the level of player I think he was. He was probably at 42 to 44. Mm. I don't think he was that much different than, say, Gary Kirsten, but Gary Kirsten was probably a little bit more even in his numbers. But I honestly don't think there was a lot of... I've watched both of them play a lot. They're pretty similar kinds of players. But Marvin Attapattu just shit all over his own numbers at the start of his career. And then, it is one of the weird... There's no other... If you play for anyone other than New Zealand or Sri Lanka, maybe West Indies, there's just no way you can actually end up with a test career if you start that poorly.
That's true. But, you know,
I remember where I recognized his name. His median is very close to Ollie Pope. That's why I know his name somewhere.
I've watched Attapattu play, so I mean, I remember him. But it's quite fascinating that despite that atrocious start to his test career where he's averaging, his high score is 29 after his first 9 test matches, he does go on to ultimately average very, very close to 40 as an opening batter. So, I mean, clearly he knew what he was doing. Mm-hmm. Yes,
right? Like, it was
in the 90s.
Tough era to be an opening batter. And an Asian opening batter who plays better away from home has got to be pretty rare, I would say.
True.
He's a fantastically weird cricketer. I apologize to everyone because now I know that his record's similar to Ollie Pope. We're doing a big video on Ollie Pope. There will be a 4-minute section in the middle of that video on Marvin Attapattu as well. I have four openers for my last spot, and I honestly don't know which direction to go. Of those four, no, I'm going to get rid of the modern one and I'm going to get rid of the attacking one because Dennis Lindsay's already a random choice. I am going to go John Wright.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. I know who the other opener was that you were considering. For sure, it has to be that guy.
So,
John Wright is a good pick.
I mean, I had four of them. So, you know, there's certainly a few options there. I think John Wright was a fantastic player. New Zealand had never had two good openers in a row sort of before. And they went straight from Glenn Turner into John Wright. His record at Test cricket is good. But I think his reputation as a player is a lot more. And he was just a son of a bitch cricketer. He also has one of the funniest cricket title books of all time, which is called Christmas in Rarotonga. He also is now a country musician, and he once glued his glove to his bat handle. I just think that there's a lot there to say. What are his advanced numbers say, Varun?
Who am I looking at? John Wright.
Well, apparently you look at
averaging.
One.
Averaging 37 with the bat as an opener, opening batter in New Zealand.
1.09 of a match factor. Yeah, okay. Pretty good.
Yeah, it was slightly better than the rest.
But some averages under 40, I think you'd say.
Yeah, I also
you have to consider
how many good New Zealand openers have we ever had? And he's in the top three.
That's the other thing, guys.
That is also very important. I mean, Turner is ahead of him, right? Obviously. Maybe, I don't know, where would you have him, like, ahead of Latham?
I have him ahead of Latham at the moment. Latham was also on my list. I don't think Latham's that far away.
Okay. Yeah. Right,
John Wright's strike rate was 35 with the ball Bulbadotta we have.
So can I just say, I don't think he was the slowest opener of his era, like in New Zealand. I think if you look at Trevor Franklin, he'll be below 35 by quite a distance. I think Trevor Franklin's is probably closer to 29. So, Jesus. Okay. And they opened together.
There was another opener.
They opened together.
Oh,
26. Okay, then. 26.
There you go. So that, a combined rate of 30, yeah. Those two openers. Oh, you must have been running down to the base to watch New Zealand bat first.
Well, I mean, look. He plays in a bowling era, right? He plays his home cricket in New Zealand. He's averaging 37 with the bat. I think it's a pretty good choice.
I love the idea. I love the idea of Kiwi fans, though. Literally having the radio on, going, "We'll wait for a wicket, right? When's Crow come? When Crow comes in, we'll all head down to the ground."
Okay, then. I am confused for my last pick. So on that note, let's take a short break. You guys are watching Crick Picks with Jared, Behram and Varun, and we'll be back in like half a minute, so go nowhere.
Brian Lara used pot plants to work on his placement. John Wright glued his glove to his bat. Sachin Tendulkar dug up practice pitches. Tatenda Taibu cut the top off his bat. Claire Taylor used a hockey grip. Steve Smith was from tennis. Dean Jones would call phantom runs. And Victor Trumper turned the nets into a war zone to survive. The best batters in the world do whatever they have to make runs. We have told their stories in our new book, The Art of Batting.
Welcome back to Crick Picks. You guys are with Behram, Jared and Varun, and we are drafting the best all-time test batters who average below 40 with the bat. And I was thinking of segues and how to prolong this to buy myself more time, asking Jared how good a coach John Wright was, this, that, the other. But I'm just going to tell you guys where my dilemma is, right? I have two hipster Pakistani picks. I have two openers from two separate Sena countries. And I have no idea where to go. With respect to these four players,
I don't know who you're. I don't know who your Pakistanis are. I have one Pakistani left on my board, so there is a player that I think is available there. I have a lot of openers that we haven't picked.
Yeah. See, the thing is that with all these opening batters, because they were facing the new ball, I feel like you've kind of got to give it to them. And one of these guys played in a very tough era for batting. So I suppose my final pick will be Mike Atherton. Athers goes on to play 115 test matches. He scores 7,728 runs and he averages 37.69 with the bat. 1600s, a strike rate of 37.49. His back kind of, troubled him throughout his career from what I know, which is why he couldn't, probably be as good as he could have. But it all comes down to that innings versus South Africa, doesn't it, Jared? And I think he was a bit lucky as well in that innings, but he helps England kind of see off an attack of Donald Pollock, I think. I think both of those guys were in that test match. And that's that one innings that we always think of Athers. He also does well versus Pakistan a few times. I know that for sure. And I mean, he's one of my favorite commentators of all time, so I'm fine with the pick.
Yeah, I think he was the player I was gonna pick and I wasn't sure between them. Look, he's an absolutely fantastic cricketer, and if his back was fit, he averages over 40. Marvin Adepadu or who's the other player we mentioned before? Marvin Adepadu, Gary Kirsten type player, right? Like, I think that's where he ends up on that list if all things being equal. So, absolutely no issue. There was a bunch of modern cricketers who play for England who obviously went on to be very successful and have much higher averages than Athers. But as Varun would say, those guys quite often played in a much better batting era than Atherton did, right? Plus, he was injured and played on, because he was captain and everything else. And one of these players was going, I don't know why we have to listen to Mike Atherton moan about us on the TV. He's not nowhere near as good as us. And I was like, guys, you're a really good team. Don't get me wrong. Athers could play, right? He couldn't get out of the way of Kirtley Ambrose and Glenn McGrath, partly because of his back. Hmm. And is it Kirtley or Courtney? One of them. They took him about 40 times between them, right? Like,
I think both of them did that.
Or maybe all three of them. He might have gone out 60 times for those guys, right? And people don't know. So I think John Wright is still a slightly better cricketer, right? But I don't think there's much between it. I think Athers was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, all right.
I think he's a bit of a draw merchant as well, if I'm being harsh.
Yeah.
I mean, England were doing well when they were drawing tests in the Athers era.
Yes, that's the other argument, right? It's like England.
I mean, how many times? How many times he's the reason they drew a test, though, as well. Like,
true.
His ability to bat long and slow is actually all part of it, right?
Right then. So I'm done with my picks. Jared is done with his picks. Varun has one last pick to end this podcast. Let's see what direction he takes.
Okay, so there's two distinctly different directions I could go for. I could go for like a 90s kid pick, or I could go for like extreme prehistoric. I don't know which direction to go to.
Go for the 90s kid. We've had enough.
I think I'll go 90s. I feel like, I don't know if he does belong here. I'm going Carl Hooper.
He kind of belongs here.
No, I think he does.
He was on my long list. Yeah, he was on my long list.
Yeah, I think he belongs because I think, Jared, was it Brian Lara who was saying he's more talented than him? Or am I mistaken?
I think, yeah. I think, well, lots of people thought he was. It just never quite happened. He was, yeah, maybe didn't quite work on his batting as much as he should have, is the nice way of putting it.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah, I think he's really good. I think he's, he averages 45 in his like last 49 tests or something from memory. I remember his start is terrible.
I think what happens with him is he plays a lot of test matches partly because they need a bowler, right? And so he plays, you know, especially when Viv Richards can't bowl as much, he comes in and he bowls, even though his bowling is not particularly good. If you look at, I think even if you look at it from around 92 onwards, so from 1993 to 2003, my guess is he probably averages 40 to 45-ish, and that's when he's at his absolute best. But before that, he is pretty shit, right? And I think it just took him a little bit longer to develop. And as I said, he was such a natural cricketer. I don't think he always worked at his game, but he was just a fantastic player. If you grew up in the 90s, every conversation was, why is he not making more runs?
Yeah. I know I've heard that a lot as well. And he's also one of those players who often gets mentioned, right? Even, I don't know how much of the test match you've got, Varun, but he was there talking to Dizzy and the commentators couldn't stop talking about Carl Hooper either. And very, very attractive bat to watch. And someone who, again, I know it doesn't matter, but he was versatile in the sense that he could offer you a few overs.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jared, can I just say this? I am shocked that we are done with all of our picks and you haven't picked Keith Miller.
Yeah. I probably should have picked Keith Miller instead of Dennis Lindsay. He is on my list, obviously. I think there's a few here that we didn't go. Was your Pakistan, one of your Pakistan picks, was it Asad Shafiq?
Yeah, one of my Pakistan picks was Asad Shafiq. The other one was Mushtaq Mohammed.
Less than 40.
Oh, who's fair. the other one?
Asad Shafiq, Mushtaq Mohammed is under 40. Asif Iqbal is also under 40, as is Mohammed Hafeez. But the one I was really confused with was like Athis or Asad Shafiq.
So I had, I also had Keith Stackpole, who just passed away recently, who's like one of the first attacking openers, who's a bit of a legend. Keith Fletcher, the England player, who I don't know how he didn't average above 40. Rick McCosker, you guys probably won't know, but played for Australia and played with a broken jaw, batted with a broken jaw, which is the famous story. Stuart Broad's dad was a pretty good bat. And I don't, he probably should have averaged over 40. Can I give us all a modern one that I think we've slept on a little bit? Temba Bavuma.
Ooh, Temba doesn't average 40?
Yeah.
Damn.
And then the other modern one, slightly less modern, is Dean Elgar, who I had him on the list and I took him off. He was one of those openers I was talking about. And I had him penciled in and then I changed my mind and put in John Wright.
I was also thinking Nathan Astle in openers, right?
Not opener. Astle wasn't an opener.
He didn't open in Test cricket?
He wasn't an opener. I don't know where he batted, but he would have batted at four, I would have thought.
It was New Zealand. It's quite possible they tried him.
Super hipster pick would have been Taufiq Umar for Pakistan. Then, of course, the KL Rahul.
Yeah, the batter I was thinking was Arthur Shrewsbury Sr. That's about one I was confused about.
Yeah, no, he's a good one. I was thinking about him as well, actually. He wasn't far away.
Yeah.
Isn't he the guy who pads the balls away?
Yeah. He's the guy.
He invents that. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, tried to ruin cricket, which is why me and Varun like him.
Varun, there was one from India, by the way, who I think deserves a mention over here. The senior Mandrekar. Vijay Mandrekar.
I had him on, and then I looked at his record, and so in Asia he averages 46, and he averages 24 and 26 in the West Indies and the UK.
Yeah, that's why I didn't have him. I think that's the exact same reason. Yeah. I was like, Vijay Manzarek is interesting. I was like, he's just making a run.
And
Rahane ends up averaging below 40 as well. I didn't even have him. I didn't even think of him.
I'm assuming he did.
Yeah, he was in my list.
Yeah, I didn't
know. Yeah. I was also thinking Quinton de Kock because he just averages 40 and he's a wicket.
I thought about Quinton as well. I wasn't far off from having him. I mean, he's on my long list, but didn't quite put him in there. Let's have a look at the list. So I've gone WG Grace, Johnny Bairstow, Dennis Lindsay, Marvin Adipatu, John Wright. Bayram's gone Brendan McCullum, Alex Stewart, Majid Khan, Ben Stokes, Mike Atherton. And Varun has gone Victor Trumper, Clem Hill, Aidan Markram, Larry Gomes, and Carl Hooper. He really has gone vibes. His team is so vibesy. Yeah.
It is. Speaking of vibes, Jared, what about Kim Hughes?
Yeah, I had him on and off my long list. Well. I didn't think he was going to make it. He's probably, like, if you look at some of these players, I wonder if he's more talented than them. But it just didn't, like, if you compare him to Mike Atherton, right? Or Marvin Adipatu. There are external reasons why their careers didn't go the way that they should have gone. Like Marvin Adipatu, if he plays in a better team, doesn't start as young, right? And so, but when he plays, he's ready to play. And Atherton with the back injury and everything. Whereas with Kim Hughes, the external issue is that he was made captain. But I don't know if he would have been a better batter if he wasn't. Kim Hughes is very similar to Ben Stokes, I think. I think he's an incredibly flawed player who could play innings that other people couldn't play.
Okay. Mm. And of course, Nasser Hussain also misses out, I suppose.
I was also thinking Warwick Armstrong, but I just saw he doesn't make runs outside of Australia.
Yeah.
I didn't have Nasser
on my list.
Both of Shubman Gill and KL Rahul were candidates, but their careers are still ongoing.
I was thinking KL Rahul.
I think KL Rahul is someone who I almost want to get away from the intensity of the KL Rahul relationship with his fans because I've written about him so much. And I almost want to wait 2 years. I think he probably should be on this list. But if we put him on here now, that is the only thing anyone would notice.
Yeah, that's also true. But I would take him ahead of Aidan Markram, maybe. You know?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm just confused.
I don't think he's a I think with Markram, I think there is an element of him just not being having the ability to stat pad much because of the pitches. Mm. I think KL is just terrible at stat padding.
Yeah.
Fair.
Some of these guys, it is. This, be honest, this is just a list of guys who couldn't work out how to stat pad correctly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But that's what I was about to say. It's so important to know how to stat pad, and people make fun of it, but it's like that. That's how people remember
it. Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I think all the great batters are great stat padders.
It's a list of the batters who couldn't stat pad correctly, some openers who weren't just good enough to average 40 for whatever reason, and also some players who dropped off towards the end. Like Asad Shafiq, for instance, was averaging well over 40 for a long time, right?
Yeah.
And then he just drops off.
Who would have thought? Who would have thought batting at number 6?
He was averaging over 40
when
he had a cushy gig.
Behind Misbah and Yunus was not going to work for you.
True. Anyway, that kind of wraps up this podcast. Let us know who you would have had in the top 15 and where we went wrong. Also, let us know which one of us three have won this individually. And hope you enjoyed it and have a good week as well. Just a quick reminder, you can go to goodareas.co and bookmark that webpage, and that can be your one-stop shop for all the fun work that we do as part of this team, whether it be written content, videos, or podcasts. We'll see you soon enough on another one of our shows. But that's all for today, folks. Have a good one and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bairam Kazi and Estelle Vasudevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.